listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Sterling.
You know, you say that every week, and it's really starting to get to me.
Why is that?
I didn't want to say anything about it, but
really?
Like nails on a chalkboard. I know you're like, Michael Sterling.
I'm sorry. Who are you?
I am Paul Strolley.
You're all right.
I am in a truculent mood.
You are.
I don't know why.
Bouncing off the walls today.
I am. It must have been those nine cappuccinos and the flourless chocolate cake.
Oh.
I think that might have been it.
Okay. Well, I told you never go near those cappuccinos.
We'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit www.breakdownexpress.com.
And our thanks, Paul, also goes out to performingartslive.com for their ongoing support of our live arts calendar. Performingartslive.com is the most comprehensive such listing service in Southern California, enabling you to search events by date, category, and region.
And today we are delighted to be joined by two renowned stage actors here in Los Angeles who will soon share the stage at Glendale Center Theater in their upcoming production of James Sherman's hilarious comedy, Beau Jest, great play. Please welcome Allison Robertson and Mario Di Gregorio.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
We brought the audience everything for you.
Yeah.
We spared no expense here.
I tell you, we have.
Right?
And Mario Di Gregorio, but as I call him, Mark.
Well, that's
we have a history,
a close personal
and
friend.
His closest friends call him Mark.
Well,
so,
as I said, I've been called worse.
Yeah, I got to get Cha-Cha out of my head because from Greece, Cha-Cha Di Gregorio is the dancer in that.
She was actually named after my dad.
Was she really?
Yep.
Your father was named Cha-Cha?
Wait,
Michael, would you say that again, please?
Your father was named Cha-Cha?
Good night, everybody.
There you go.
Thank you.
Be sure to take your
wages. Yes. Try the veal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, my dad worked on the movie.
Oh, really?
In the original stage play, there was no Cha-Cha Di Gregorio. It was just Cha-Cha.
Oh, okay.
And they named a lot of those minor characters after the guys who were working on the movie, and that one stuck.
I can't believe that. That it would just occur to me, and there would actually be a lineage there. Oh, that's so funny.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Who knew is right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to talking to these two people
indeed.
About the very funny
They're
play.
They're very talented Boat. And a very, very funny play. Yeah.
Yes.
Coming up for 7 weeks out at Glendale Center Theater. Ladies
where they just did 1776, which
indeed.
Was
Smash.
Highly enjoyable.
Smash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that space. That was the first time I'd been there. And I went to the restaurant nearby, one of the restaurants you recommended.
To Jack's.
Okay.
I was, oh, I'm sorry.
No,
sorry.
No, it was just, I went there, and then I went to another restaurant.
Oh, you went to Damon's.
Yes. That's no, right. I went to another one.
Another one?
I went to another one that was not a favorable experience.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah, but that's
Glendale?
A whole other story. What?
Well, not that one.
No, it was in Sheboygan.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear the eye roll, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, can you hear the eye roll? No, actually, I did have a lovely time at Jack's.
At Jack's?
Yes, I did. I didn't do the fried chicken, though. Because everyone said do the fried chicken, that it was very good.
Oh, really?
I didn't do that.
I don't know the fried chicken. I never have anything fried there, but...
No?
Yeah, no.
No, it was enjoyable. So how was your week?
It was good. It was good. I had a cell phone sighting.
Really?
Yeah.
They're fairly common now, Michael.
Yeah,
you could see them everywhere.
I'm on the bandwagon about, you know, not talking in your car, certainly. And on this show, whenever I see things that are odd and strange, I certainly bring it up. And this one wasn't actually in the car. This was outside of the car on a very, very busy street, or Ventura Boulevard here, on the weekend, traffic just, you know, flying by. A mother comes out of a restaurant to her car that is parked on Ventura Boulevard with a baby holding her young infant in her right arm. She has a bag in her left arm, a bag of some shopping sort of thing. And she has a cigarette in her mouth, and she's talking on the cell phone at the same time, the cell phone being in the hand that is around the child, which she actually moved from there to under her neck and head, there, in that position when she was going to get the keys out of the bag to get into the car.
Yeah. I didn't know, actually, my mother was in town.
What goes through these people?
I didn't know my mom was here.
Yes,
but
she,
normally she calls
first.
You know, at least for beer money. You know.
She was probably calling you at the time.
I got a call, but I couldn't hear it over the traffic. I
mean, really?
Yeah.
But can you imagine what goes through people's heads when they're with a child? I mean, yeah. On a busy street, the baby could have fallen.
I see that all the time, too. The kid holding the child by their hand, but the kid's in traffic.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just like, well, I'll hold their hand, so they'll be fine, you know.
Unbelievable.
I have a cell phone issue, but it's not necessarily about other people's usage. It's the technology itself. Because we were talking about autocomplete. Mm-hmm. What did you call it, Allison? You referred to it
predictive
as...
Predictive text,
where you start to write something, and it assumes it knows what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it can really bite you in the ass, no pun intended, in this particular case, because I was working on this program, because I do this graphic design on the side. And I sent a text out to some of the actors and let them know how they had to submit this material to me. And then I started to get all of these responses back because I asked them to keep the information separate in two different colons. Yes. Yes. Please keep the information in two separate colons. And that is what I just went out. And that's the thing with the text is that I'm not a texter because I have, you know, hands like a tree frog. So it's difficult to maintain the digits when I text, you know. But I did find something very cool. And this is my commercial. It's called Dragon Dictation. Do you have it?
No, but I've been wanting to... Look at it.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's a program for your cell phone where you just say, you know, you dictate your text message or an email or whatever.
Right.
And when you're done, you just click send and it types the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to do it. And especially with text where people expect it to be like less than letter perfect.
Right.
Even if there is a little glitch, you know, you get your point across. So.
But you don't have that automatically built into the iPhone?
No, it's a free app. You just had to get it.
Oh, okay.
It's a free... I mean, we have...
That's part of my... I have a Droid, a Droid X, which is comparable to the iPhone.
Yeah, Droid X. That's a Droid for adults.
Yeah.
That's the...
the X-rated version.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, no, I love that. I just discovered it about 6 months ago.
Well, you didn't text for the longest time.
No.
Because I remember trying to get you to text.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a big fan of it myself.
No, I didn't. But dictating it... Like Paul said, is the beautiful part.
Yeah.
You can even say, like, Allison, I'm going to call you later, period, and then I will see you tomorrow, period.
And dictate punctuation?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Can you dictate sarcasm?
Perhaps. I'll try it.
Because that's the whole thing about emails that drives you crazy, because you can't, there's no nuance, it's just words on a page.
Yeah.
I've sent emails to people that I thought were the most complimentary things I could say. And I get messages back, I don't appreciate your sarcasm. It's like, I was congratulating you.
Well, that's when you need to go to that app, Tone Alert.
Oh, yes, you told me about that.
Tone Alert.
Do tell.
You have to download it. It's free. And it monitors how you're writing. And it sends you an alert on your screen if it feels that you are a little out of line with the word choices, and it gives you alternative word choices.
Yeah. So they're replacing your mother now.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Exactly.
Pretty much. But, you know, it's true. I mean, we can innocently write something in an email with all the best of intentions, and it can, as you explained, be misinterpreted. So.
Yeah. A tone alert.
But, I mean, do we really need all this stuff, honestly? Do we need it? No, I don't think we need it.
Well, it's just, you know, no one has any time to read or write or anything, so everything is very
But this is perpetuating that problem.
That's true.
That's true. It's one more thing to be concerned with.
Exactly. So let's stop talking about it, damn it.
Yes.
Because you're being sarcastic with me. I can tell.
You're just looking at me, man. I didn't say anything yet.
Would you introduce, Michael, the lovely lady who joins us here today?
I will. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest was last seen on the Glendale Center Theater stage in Footloose, the musical, of course, and A Christmas Carol. That is a spectacular annual event at Glendale Center Theater. She has been seen in many national commercials and television shows, such as Better Off, Ted, West Wing, and Dawson's Creek. Daytime television audiences will remember her as Heather Downs on the NBC hit drama Passions. Please welcome Allison Robertson. Allison.
Just a little flash
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Just a little flash.
Allison and I, Paul, are friends. We are kind of new friends, I guess, within the last year.
That's true.
Or so. and have and earlier in the lobby we were all sitting out there, folks, and Allison and I discovered that we had yet another mutual friend. The wonderful Eric Hamlin. Eric, if you're listening, I think of you often, and I understand you have two teenage children, just so hard for me to believe. It's this young man, Liberace's protege, and one of the great pianists ever in music, right? Not only Liberace, but Eric Hamlin.
And one of my dearest friends.
Yeah. So he's grown up, and were you a boyfriend and girlfriend when you were little?
No, we weren't.
But you performed together, right?
We were like brother and sister.
Yeah.
We have a really great friendship.
Well, he was such a great star, and I hope, Eric, I understand that you're not performing too much, so... Pull that piano out of your back pocket and get back out there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, Allison.
Tell me.
You're co-starring with this lovely man here, Mario Di Gregorio.
Yes,
it's
my
Mark,
daddy.
Michael.
Mark.
Just stand to play.
In Beau Geste, which is serving up the laughs at Glendale Center Theater. It opens this week, August 18th. It plays through September 24th. And I know that it's a very, very funny play from James Sherman, but I'd like to ask the two of you to kind of tell Paul and I and our audience about the synopsis of the play. Just give us a little synopsis of...
Well, it's about my lovely character, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, like many women in L.A., looking for a husband. And her parents have very particular views on what type of husband she should have, and that should be a Jewish husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she only
now, where are you going to find that in L.A.?
Well,
this is based in Chicago.
Oh, okay, okay.
So there's a mishaps of her dating non-Jewish men, and she's in love with a non-Jewish man and decides to hire an escort to be her Jewish boyfriend for dinner with her parents for her father's birthday. And she winds up having feelings for that escort, and the fun starts from there, and
yes,
Mario plays my dad. And we have it's like every family you've ever known, whether they're Italian, Jewish, Scottish, Mexican, that familia and the wants that the parents want for the children and what the children want are different. But it's very funny.
Well, as the press material will say, imagine my big fat Greek wedding meets The Wedding Date with a little fiddle around the roof thrown in for good measure.
Perfection.
Right? What I haven't told Allison is that I've been through this.
You have?
Yeah. Have you?
She's actually about the age of my third daughter.
Oh, really? How many kids do you have, Mario?
Six.
Six? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Somebody didn't tell us what was causing them.
Yeah. Are you Catholic by any chance?
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I'm Catholic, but my wife's Mormon.
Whoa.
No, just was trying to think. Who probably is just ahead of the procreation thought? Who has the most kids? And is the competition between the Catholics and the...
Well, actually, I've been married twice. There's two litters, one from each place.
Two litters.
Litters.
Oh, so affectionate.
Nice.
Very nice.
That's now, Elaine Rose, who's a very funny lady.
Oh, yes.
A very funny actress who I happen to have the pleasure of seeing on the stage in a wonderful show called, correct me if I'm wrong on the title, because you were also her husband, I think, in this show.
No.
I
was the husband of... There was two sets of grandparents.
Oh, okay.
I was in one set, she was in the other.
Oh, all right. So, but the show was...
Over the River and Through the Woods.
One of the great... Have you ever seen that, Paul?
I have not.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful
it's
show.
One of my very favorite.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to this in that it's all family.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really about family.
And similar, Paul is getting ready to do a show called Kvetch.
Kvetch. Kvetch. Kvetch. Yes. Kvetch. We're learning how to say it properly because there's only one Jewish person actually in the show. So we're learning how to properly say Kvetch because the K and the V is like one thing.
Also takes place over dinner.
Yeah.
Similar.
Initially. It varies, but there's a big dinner scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very interesting, very dark, dark comedy. But
wow.
Kvetch, everyone has a tendency to think is just sort of a complaint, but it really is airing an anxiety.
Yeah.
And in this show, that's exactly what happens. Everyone will have their lines with each other, but then they will turn to the audience and deliver their kvetch, what they're thinking. And it's so everyone freezes. It's very film-like, but very funny play.
But
also very, family and, very similar.
Well, I can't wait for that. And yours, I think, it just sounds so funny to me. It became a movie with Lanny Kazan in 2008.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rather successful film, I think, on not on the Richter scale of major motion pictures, but it certainly
was a real sleeper hit, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything with Lanny Kazan. She's
fabulous.
Funny, funny lady.
Oh, my favorite year? My Favorite Year?
Of course. Yes. One of my favorite movies.
Screamed. Just
I wish
so
the musical version of that was as good as the movie.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It was kind of the musical version kind of tanked, didn't it?
A little bit of a thump. Yeah. And Kelly Flynn plays the boyfriend who, not the boyfriend, but the actor that you hire to be your boyfriend.
That's correct.
The wonderful Kelly Flynn. He does
Very
great
funny.
Work out there. And Sean Cahill plays your
boyfriend.
Gentile.
My gentile and gentile.
Yeah, you're gentile, gentile. Allison, have you done shows at Glendale before?
I had done Footloose. I'd come in to play the mom to Ren.
Oh, okay.
And then I was jumped over with Mario, and we got to do Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that was such a great venue over there. Michael's familiar with it, but I had not, and I know, Mario, you have an extensive history with them. But my wife and I went, you know, just 1776 was the first thing we saw over there. And it's so fitting that Bo Jest would do well there, because in terms of what you said, the family dynamic, you feel like you're part of the family over there. And I know that sounds trite and cliche, but the vibe that they put forth is just sort of like so welcoming and so warm, mm-hmm. and just, mm-hmm. you know, and you look around and you just see all these families together enjoying. I mean, it was especially evident in 1776 because that covers the whole gap. You know, you could bring anyone to that.
Yeah, it's
you know.
Exactly.
And I would imagine so. I mean, Bo Jest is not like anything that's sort of...
No, it's definitely a family.
It's a family
thing.
Okay.
Fun show, and it laughed for everybody of all ages.
Right.
Truly. One of the things about when I came into Glendale, they were so welcoming, and I came into Footloose 2 weeks before it opened, and as you know how the theater's set up, I walked in and I thought, how does one do this in this theater space? And once you figure it out, it is one of the most fun places I have ever performed at, I have to be honest. And the audiences are amazing.
Well, I've been there as long as I've been there.
Yeah.
1962, you said?
1962.
126 shows?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
That's something else. And that's just the shows, and then multiply the performances, my God.
Yeah.
Right?
Most shows run about 36 performances.
Right.
Or some more. Some of the musicals run for 8 weeks.
You know, a little known fact, I think we said it, though, recently on the show, is that the Glendale Center Theater is the oldest continuously running theater in the United States.
Really?
Yes, it's in its 64th year. It has never not had a show in 64 years.
That's
one right after another with no downtime.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Because every
that's
show...
That's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, we closed 1776 Saturday night. Sunday, we were in tech rehearsal for the next show.
Right.
Wow. Oh, yeah, because they have a perform or a rehearsal space that's very similar to the stage size.
Yeah, they have one upstairs in the theater, and then they have another building that we can go to if we need
to. Wow. Right. You know, it's funny you mentioned that about the audience, and when you came in, I was talking to Allison, going in and seeing that it was in the round and all that. And my experience there was, because, you know, Michael had mentioned that it was in the round when we were discussing 1776. And I found that the audience was this phenomenal backdrop for what you were watching, because when it's almost like they're reflective of the energy. Because if you're looking past performers, and I'm not saying that you're distracted by them, but if you're looking past them and they're framing what's going on stage and they're really digging it, it's palatable, you know, and especially something like 1776, where, you know, if you were in the Continental Congress, that would be the climate. People sitting around would be the climate anyway. But I thought it was going to be a deficiency and a drawback or a distraction. It's not at all. I really enjoyed it.
I agree.
No,
I agree. And pretty much in every show, I mean, there's a light spill onto the audience, but I think you kind of adjust to that in the first few minutes if you've never been there before, certainly.
Well, I like the idea that the audience feels like they're part of the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
They feel like they're actually in the room where the show is taking place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which in Bo Jest would just be you're having dinner with those people.
In her apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
As if they're in your living room.
It's a big apartment.
It's a big apartment.
It's a very luxurious apartment for Chicago.
Doing well for a kindergarten teacher.
I would be remiss in not mentioning that Danny Michaels is also in this production.
Of course.
Danny, having also worked with Mario in 1776, Paul, and playing the president of the, Congress, right?
No, John Hancock was president. He played Thompson.
Yes, you're right.
The second in command.
Yes, forgive me.
Oh, okay.
Danny, though, is a true star at Glendale Center Theater. He's starred in many, many things there. Will Rogers.
Yeah. Will Rogers. I did She Loves Me with him.
Yeah.
And then I did Phantom with him down at Music Theater West in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny and I are very close friends.
Yeah,
he's a
wonderful, wonderful performer, singer, actor, and a fine man.
And a very good hoofer.
And a good hoofer.
Yep.
Yeah. So he plays your brother.
He does.
Is that right?
He plays my psychiatrist brother.
Oh, your psychiatrist brother.
Psychiatrist. Very funny.
How many people are in the cast of BoJack?
Approximately.
Six.
Okay, so yeah. Small cast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All
right. Yeah.
Awesome. Wait, no, I'm just looking. You said six? I thought it was five. No?
I think yeah. Well, there's
Sean.
Sean,
Danny,
Kelly,
Elaine,
Danny, and myself, and then the two ladies.
And then the two ladies.
Five. I have five here. One, two, three. Allison, Mario, Elaine, Danny, and Sean.
And Kelly.
And Kelly.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Kelly. I'm sorry.
Kelly Flynn.
There you go. All right. Yes, six. Six. Yeah. So now this is a little bit shorter because it's not a musical. So the run is through the 24th of September.
Correct.
So that
mm-hmm.
is about 7 weeks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah. Good. Well, you know, Paul, we should tell people how to see this.
I will. Do you mind if I do?
Please.
Well, first off, the Glendale Center Theater is located at 324 North Orange Street in Glendale, 91203. And reservations and or ticket purchases may be made by calling 818-244-8481. That's 818-244-8481. Or you can go to the box office. The hours are Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6. And for further information, visit GlendaleCenterTheater.com. And both center and theater are both the R-E spelling. So Glendale. So I usually say that with a British affectation, and I will now.
Yes.
GlendaleCenterTheater.com.
There you go.
.com. Yes. R-E-R-E.
But there's nothing affected about you, Paul.
Not at all. No. Not at all. Could you pass me my tea, please, and
yes.
my biscotti? Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Exactly. And aside from that, ladies and gentlemen, I might as well say this because I have the information in front of me. Glendale Center Theater, the season flushes out the balance of the year with, after BoJest closes, with Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, September 29th through November 19th. And then, as I said at the top of the show, their annual production of A Christmas Carol, which I have never seen.
Really?
But I understand it's supposed to be quite spectacular.
It is. It
really is.
And this is, of course, the A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and it runs November 25th through December 24th.
And how many years have they been doing that?
64.
They do that every year?
Every year.
Holy cow. So then Dickens probably advised on the first production.
Perhaps.
Right?
Yeah.
Perhaps. He was the dramaturg.
And I'm assuming, Mario, you've been in that production at one point or another. No?
I've actually been in it since the first time they did it.
Oh, every year?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Not every year.
First year, though.
I had to take a few years off.
Yeah.
I did the first 7 years, I played Marley and Old Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the gentleman who was playing Scrooge, who actually wrote the adaptation, left... Somehow I inherited Scrooge. I have no idea how, but I did.
Hmm. Now, Old Joe, is that the grave digger?
He's the pawnbroker that in Christmas Future, they take him to a pawn shop where the laundress and the charwoman have taken the goods that they've stolen from his brother.
Oh, okay.
And he's a Fagin.
Oh, gotcha. And this was an original adaptation that they did there?
Yeah.
And they're still using that adaptation?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
I mean, it's changed a tad.
And it does involve music of some sort.
Yes.
Some singing. It's not really a musical, but...
No, what we try to do is cover every scene change and pretty much every segment segue into a scene with a Christmas carol of some sort. And it opens with a courtyard scene with Christmas carols being sung.
Oh, nice.
And I imagine they just have the whole place just decked out for days.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The lobby.
People go home going, oh, yeah, it's Christmas.
Yeah. Doesn't it snow there? Doesn't it snow outside or in the theater?
Yeah, he has a snow machine on the balcony above and it snows out in front.
Oh.
Kids love it.
Awesome. Oh, on your way into the theater.
And
on the way in and out.
In the theater, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last scene.
Nice.
That's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
I miss that out here, being from Connecticut. Because I was really... You know, spoiled by growing up in Connecticut because, you know, Christmas in Connecticut looks like a Currier and Ives place.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then you get out here and it's like, you know, well, we could open our gifts and then swim. You know, it's just not the same.
But we could barbecue the turkey.
Could barbecue the turkey.
People do that. Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
I
smoke mine.
Do you?
Yeah.
Isn't that a little heavy?
Yeah, it's a little hard to get the papers around.
Thank you.
That was my thing.
I'm so sorry.
There you go.
Thank you. Because I actually had a different one for that one. Would you like to hear that?
There you go. That's like right up there with I flew out here last night from New York. You know.
Yeah, exactly. No, but we're definitely going to do that this year. We'll do Glendale for Christmas Carol. Because.
And don't you have some little lovely children you could take?
I'm sure I could find some.
Your family, you've got all these little ones that come out. And
I'm not flying anyone out for a Christmas carol.
You and his wife do this lovely thing where they
yes, we do. Oh, that's
child
true.
Is
that's
of
true.
A certain age
yeah.
in the family.
We have about 25 nieces and nephews between Monica
wow.
and I.
It's a big investment.
And it's a big investment because every time one of them turns 13, we fly them, you know, more or less around their birthday. We fly them out here, and they get a weekend where they're carried around on a velvet pillow, and they can have pizza, and they can watch movies and everything. And it's pretty much why Monica and I won't have any retirement money.
Yes.
Because we didn't realize when we made this offer that the family would continue to procreate. Yeah. There were about four of them when we made this offer. But no, we have a ball with them. And the only thing is that more often than not, they're not here at exact holiday time because they don't want to be, obviously, away from their families mm-hmm. for Christmas time. But we'll take them to another show there.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah,
oh, definitely. Yeah. That's so nice. Well, that's a nice gesture.
They love it, too. And it's become folklore now because now the older siblings go back and they said, I have to tell you about a magical land. A magical land where you can sit on the couch and eat ice cream and no one yells at you.
Wasn't there one of the children?
I don't know why I just made my niece Marley. Put this affectation on a 13-year-old girl, yes.
Wasn't one of them, though, rather bored by the whole experience? Didn't you tell me
Well,
that
I one? Think... not that they're bored. It's just that what happens... And this is
I'm
really,
sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up.
No, it's not an issue of being bored. It's an issue of we plan the same things for them. And girls, more often than not, will go for the ride and be inquisitive and go do... And a lot of the boys just... You know, it's like over in a second.
Yeah.
So we allot 2 hours to do man's Chinese theater, and they're like, oh, that was cool. What's next? It's like, you don't understand. This is supposed to take us till 3:30. It's noon.
Don't you put your hands in there.
Right, yeah, exactly. And the girls will take pictures of everything, and the boys will just be like, okay, saw Bruce Willis. We can go. You know, so
Mario, do you find this to be true? You've got children.
I've got two sons, yeah, and they have the attention span of a gnat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
And you have a young one.
I have three children.
Three?
I do.
You do?
I
only
do.
Knew about one. When did the other two come along?
I have a 4-year-old and I have a 6-year-old.
Wow.
And I have an older son.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old is your oldest son?
He's 23.
23.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. He just graduated from Berkeley, so.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, very excited.
What
yeah.
is he doing? Is he going to go into the entertainment business? Like
he was in the entertainment business as a kid, and mm-hmm. now I think social media is where he's heading.
Social media.
No,
he would like to blog, and I
don't
know how
much
a blogger makes.
Yeah,
I don't think that whole social media thing is going to do very well. That's a real risky field, yeah. don't you think?
I think.
But he's in San Francisco, so I'm sure he's in the right place.
Yeah, no, he's close enough to up there. I see it. Yeah.
Silicon Valley.
Yes,
yeah. They say, right?
I thought that was L.A. Oh, different.
Oh,
times.
Yeah, exactly. It depends
times.
On yeah,
sorry.
Which peak or valley
own.
We're referring to.
Yes. We should do, you want to do our arts
yeah,
calendar, Michael?
I think we probably should.
We're going to take a break from our guests for a moment and pay the bills with our arts mm-hmm. calendar. And Michael, do you want to kick it off?
I will.
Okay.
This Tony Award-winning play is the story of five unmarried sisters eking out their lives in a small village in Donegal, Ireland, in August 1936 during the Festival of Lugnasa. Am I saying these
I
things
I think it's
right?
Lunasa, yeah. Lunasa.
Yeah. All
right.
Their spare existence is interrupted by brief, colorful bursts from the radio, probably our show, whose music transforms them from correct Catholic women into shrieking, stomping banshees in their own kitchen. From a few small events spring the cracks that destroy the foundation of the family forever. Widely regarded as Brian Friel's masterpiece, this haunting play is Friel's tribute to the spirit and valor of the past. Dancing at Lunasa plays in Hollywood at the Complex Theater August 18th through the 28th, then at the Vic Lopez Auditorium in Whittier, California, September 8th through the 17th.
The LA Times calls it an Othello for today. Tiger Reel's explosive adaptation set in the military benefits from skillful performances. That's a quote from the LA Times. The production company and action theater company join forces to present Shakespeare's Othello in a new adaptation by Tiger Reel, a sleek multimedia adaptation of Shakespeare's classic in which 7 actors play all the roles. Set in present-day Washington, D.C. and Fort Cypress, Florida, Florida. That I don't understand at all. D.C. at Fort Cypress. Othello follows two special ops military specialists who, upon returning from covert operations, become embroiled in jealousy and mistrust and find that they cannot leave behind the violence and suspicion of the battlefield. This Ovation-recommended production of Othello is playing through this weekend only at the Lex Theater in Hollywood.
Sounds interesting, huh?
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
And coming up, ladies and gentlemen, at one of our great theaters in Los Angeles is your chance to see Ennio, featuring Ennio Morricone. Isn't my saying that right? You're Italian.
Marchetto.
You're Italian.
Marchetto.
Marchetto. Marchetto.
Yeah. Marchetto. What's CH? Is it CH or a CH sound?
Either way, I usually make it a K. It would be Marchetto.
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 Yeah,
I like that.
But I'm Sicilian, so what do I know?
So I'm going to say this again. It's your chance to see Ennio featuring
So
Ennio.
Technically, we should be fighting right
yeah,
now, because
right
I'm Northern.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Mr. Marchetto, I'm sorry about that.
Excuse us while we promote your show and mock your culture.
Ennio Marchetto, the living paper cartoon, which will play an exclusive one-week-only limited engagement from August 23rd through the 28th at the Pasadena Playhouse. A global phenomenon, Ennio Marchetto is the original transformation artist revolutionizing the art of origami into a unique performance that is nothing short of comic genius. Marchetto uses his dynamic physical comedy, a sizzling soundtrack, and ingenious paper costumes to magically morph into parodies of over 50 of your favorite personalities, from Lady Gaga and Eminem to Fred Astaire and the Mona Lisa. And it only gets better. You can win a free pair of tickets from our friends at the Pasadena Playhouse by writing to us at State of the Arts. If you are the 25th email to be received requesting to see this show, you and a guest will be attending a performance of Ennio on either August 23rd, 24th, or 25th. Send your email to us at stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. And for more information, ladies and gentlemen, about events in our arts calendar, you can visit either stateoftheartsla.com or performingartslive.com, where you can also check out what's happening in Southern California every day of the week.
That just sounds, that last Ennio sounds like the most wonderfully odd thing.
Isn't
just
it?
Like, yeah. Really interesting.
Yeah.
I think I would be all over that.
Yeah.
I'm unable to attend it, but I would
really?
Like to.
Really? Yeah. You have rehearsals, huh?
I do. Because I saw something similar to that, but... It was regarding folding the spoken word. It was origami, and it was.
Man,
okay.
You got to reach really far down in your pocket to pull those out, don't you?
Yeah. Our next guest has been associated as an actor or director in 126 productions at the Glendale Center Theater since 1962. That is very, very impressive, including Squabbles, Over the River and Through the Woods, and Lend Me a Tenor. He just completed portraying Colonel Thomas McKeon in their acclaimed presentation of the Tony Award-winning musical 1776. Please welcome Mario Di Gregorio. Yeah.
I like the applause.
I don't really have any other sound bites except for this.
Well,
there you go. I'll take it.
Will you?
I'll take it.
How are you?
I'm fine now.
Pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you.
So you're Sicilian, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you first generation, second?
Second generation.
Second generation.
Yeah, my grandfather, every time someone would call him Italian, would look at them and say, "They claim us, we don't claim them."
That's very funny. My father's Northern Italian. Actually, he was so far north that he was born in France.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, no, the closest hospital was there. So. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How funny is that?
Yeah.
Hey, Mario, we mentioned this in your intro. Paul just read it, and we said it a little earlier in the program about the fact that you have done 126 productions at the Glendale Center Theater.
Yeah.
This Bojess that you're doing will be your 127th, you think?
That's correct.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And there's a wonderful gesture that the Glendale Center Theater, that the owners of the theater, the producers, put out there to actors who achieve the status at a certain level. We think it's around 200, right?
Yeah,
we think it's around
there.
200.
Well, I know that when I hit 100, they surprised me, because the funny thing was that my wife walked on stage and put a lei around my neck and told me we were going to Hawaii, because they were sending me to Hawaii.
Oh, my.
And the odd thing was that my ex-wife was offstage photographing us.
Well, that is odd, isn't it?
Yeah. Like I say, my ex-wife was photographing me getting laid.
You know, if I had a nickel for every time.
Yeah.
Let's just address the fact that no one ever said at any point that anyone was laid on stage at the Glendale Center Theater.
Exactly.
No one is saying that.
That's exactly.
True. Never happened.
It's a family place.
It's a family place.
But when you get to the 200 mark, what happens? I thought that's what happened.
Well, I haven't talked to Tim about that yet.
You got sent to Hawaii.
I have to live long enough to get there, but...
So maybe you'll get a second trip out of it.
Who knows? Who knows?
And is it just you, or is it you and your significant other?
And
wow. Oh, who would do this? What producers of
none
theater,
that I know
especially
of.
In Los Angeles?
None that I know of.
I think they'd have to at least give you two tickets. Can you imagine what a backhanded gift that would be? You have to go to Hawaii, but you have to go by yourself. And your wife could go if she'd like, but it'll cost her $16,000.
No.
But that's very
right
that's very impressive.
It's a lovely
it is
gesture.
Impressive.
It really is.
It's not only impressive your accomplishment, but it's impressive because I mean, as you said, how often do you hear about a venue, you know, honoring an actor in that way, you know?
Well, and especially in these times, you know, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, how was that trip? You went. Was it?
It was
a
great.
Wonderful experience. And how long was the?
We were there for a week.
For a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which island?
Oahu.
Oh yeah.
And what
yeah.
hotel?
I don't even remember.
Questions get harder. Yeah. What did you have for breakfast?
Yeah. I did have a good experience over
it was
there.
Was a nice hotel, I'm sure.
The,
right, because the Deatlands are
the
very classy.
The last night we
people.
Were there, we decided to go to the Royal Hawaiian for dinner.
Okay.
And, my favorite.
And I had one too many scotches, but we're. 2 o'clock in the morning, we're walking up Waikiki Beach, and I looked at my wife, and I said,
Who are you?
I looked at her, and I said, do you hear a bagpipe? And she said...
Must have been all that gazpacho.
No, there was a guy standing out on the seawall at Waikiki Beach in full kilt playing a bagpipe.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm trying to figure out why, because obviously he got off at the wrong island.
But,
you know...
But it was never explained?
No. No, he was just out there playing, and other people were walking along looking at him, too.
Oh, my gosh.
We were assuming that he was probably either dumping somebody's ashes in the ocean.
I was, seriously, it could have been a memorial of some
sort. Oh, that's an interesting thought.
But at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Well, he had a few scotches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
Have you been to Hawaii?
Many times.
Really? I mean, many times?
Many times, yeah.
Okay. I only went once, but it was enough to really drive my wife crazy. Did I
really?
Ever tell you that story?
No. Why?
Because she's always wanted to go, and we haven't had a chance to go yet.
Yeah.
And I went for doing an industrial for digital computers. Uh-huh. I was emceeing this huge industrial there, so they were paying the whole thing. It was very, very nice.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I have to utter the F word in this next story.
Really?
Because it's essential to the weight...
Really?
Of how irritated she
I'm
was.
I'm not a big fan of it on the radio.
No, but we can get if
I mean,
I'm prefacing it. I'm prefacing it,
okay.
But it really is essential for the saltiness of Monica's response on this, because I called her up because here she was working in Chicago in a closet office with no window and solid brick, and it was February and it was like 3 degrees outside and gray and snow and all this, and I called her from my lanai looking out over the ocean and eating the breakfast, and these tropical birds fly down and they're picking up my toast while I'm talking to her on the phone, and I just said, hang on, Monica, hang on, just get away. She's like, what? And I said, tropical birds are eating my toast. She goes, oh, fuck you. She's like, are the big bad tropical birds coming? It's 3 degrees here. She was so irritated. So it was just like, that was the reason.
That.
It wasn't that bad. Because, you know, Monica doesn't really come out with that often. So it just really
No.
That's what makes it good.
Exactly. So,
well, the Royal Hawaiian, we were talking
the Royal
about.
Hawaiian.
It's one of the great hotels in the world, really.
It's the only thing in Honolulu that hasn't changed very
much. Yes, you're right. You're right.
It's just remained the same, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
And there's some spectacular other hotels there. There's one that's over by Diamond Head, which is called the Kahala.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a Kahala Hilton. It's now something else, but it still maintains that word, the Kahala. And you can swim with the porpoises.
Yeah.
There in the hotel.
In the hotel.
They have a lagoon, and you can get in your wetsuit, and you can swim with these little guys.
Because I know you could, I mean, I'm not making a joke here. Is swimming with porpoises different from swimming with dolphins?
Well, you know what? It might be with dolphins, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think it's dolphins.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, do you have a favorite island when you're there?
Well, I've been mostly there, but I've been to Kauai, and I've been to
I was on Maui.
Yeah, Maui.
I was on Maui.
Maui a few times, yeah. In Maui, I liked, you know, it's a beautiful island if you really take the time to go and explore it and do the seven waterfalls and all of that up in the mountains. And the village there is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You've been, right, Allison?
I've only been to Oahu.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm.
And, but Kauai is the garden island.
Yeah.
And that is where they filmed the motion picture South Pacific.
Yes.
And I think other major motion pictures.
That's where you
want to
go
island.
If you want peace and quiet and just to enjoy yourself.
And I actually drove out all the way to the end of that island, past Charo's restaurant. And we she lives there.
Yeah.
And I stopped there, hoping I would see her. And I did.
Really?
Yeah. And there was nobody in there but her and her husband, and we had a lovely chat.
And when was this?
This was years ago.
I was going to say, how's Charo looking these days?
She still looks pretty much like she
I know.
Always
I saw a picture of her in the Getty images, and I was just like, boy, she's holding up
well. Yeah. Yeah, she does well. So we passed there is the spot in South Pacific where Ballyhea is across the way, across this lagoon area. And it's just stunning. It's spectacular. Yeah.
Now, Mario, have you been back since that trip?
Not since then.
Okay.
I mean, I'm dying to go back.
And how long ago was that?
That was probably about 6-7 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just hoping we have to get...
You have to go.
We do, and especially from here. It doesn't make sense not to go if you already live here, because I flew from Chicago, and that was, you know, that's a long... I mean, it's a long flight from Chicago. It's even worse. Because, you know, on all our high school maps, you know, they don't want to give you 5 feet of blue fabric on the map, so they just tuck it in the little box, and then you actually fly it. It's like, no, it's like
long.
Flying back to New York from here. It's a trek.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't do well on long flights.
And you have been to luau's, I assume, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
folks, everyone?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Do you like luau's?
Yeah.
Do you like poi?
Yes. Love poi.
And pig and all those things?
The pork is wonderful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If I could dig a hole in my backyard, that's the way I'd cook it.
Wouldn't you know? I mean, I think you can have people come and do that for you, though.
I'll
dig a hole in your backyard?
Yeah, I'll look for it.
Well, no, I mean, actually do that. You can hire them to do the cooking and do the whole, the proper way to do it. Well,
there's a Tom Waits song called Filipino Box Spring Hog. And what it means is that in the 20s and 30s in the Filipino section, there's downtown, you know, L.A., they would just take the box spring and they'd dig a hole in the backyard and put the fire in it and put a pig on a metal box spring because you could cook it, you know, through the box.
Yeah.
It was a type of meal, Filipino box spring hog.
That's
isn't that well?
And we asked
useless how? Shit stuck in my head. Can't remember my own phone number, but I remember Filipino box spring hog. Oh, and I said I used another expletive,
didn't
I?
Yeah.
That's two for one show. That's high for me.
Ooh.
Sorry.
That's all right.
That.
They were used in the right context this time.
Yes. Yeah. Michael, let's promote the Glendale Center Theater show again, Beau Jest, so
Absolutely.
That people can remember how to get tickets for this, because we want to make sure that they do. Do you want to, or should I?
I'm happy to. Performances of Beau Jest, ladies and gentlemen, are August 18th through September 24th, and will be presented Thursday through Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. with Saturday matinees at 3 p.m. A special thing that they do over at Glendale, they have a demand for Sunday matinees, so they do two of them coming up August 21st and 28th, but that's only two during the entire run. And they do a very special performance on Wednesdays, one Wednesday during this run on August 24th at 8 p.m. You'll find all about that by calling the Glendale Center Theater box office at 818-244-8481 and ask their very, very lovely staff there about these performances. And the best part about this is that tickets range between the phenomenal prices of $21 and $23.
That's ridiculous. I don't know how they do it, but I'm grateful that they do.
A gorgeous 400-seat theater in the round. You won't find anything else like it in the state of California, if even around the rest of the country, quite frankly. And they always turn in Broadway-caliber work. So I'm excited to see you all open this week on the show. And hopefully, Paul, you'll be able to get out there during the run as well.
Oh, for Beau Jest, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll be out there to see that. Once we're in a manic stage of rehearsing right now because it's so difficult. But before, we don't have much time, but I wanted to ask you both about something that Michael and I do at the end of every show, where we sort of ask people about their nightmare performance story, disaster, embarrassment, goofy, silly, worst thing to happen on stage or just while performing. Could be film, could be television. Do either of you have a tale that you could share with us? 126 shows. We could probably do a show on your stories
nightmares
of that ilk. But what, do you want to kick it off? Or Allison, would you like to?
Go ahead, Daddy.
Oh, well, thank you, dear.
She called you Daddy.
When I did Annie Get Your Gun, I played Sitting Bull. and an Italian Indian.
Yeah. Well, that guy, the guy with the tear, he was an Italian actor. The guy.
Yes, his son actually came and saw the show.
Really?
Yeah. A friend of ours, you met Don the other night, the little guy. Yeah. Don Parker is a Chippewa. And his friend is Iron Eyes Cody's son.
Iron Eyes Cody, that was there, yeah.
And they came to see the show, and they found out that I was Italian playing an Indian, so they came in full buckskins, headdresses, the whole thing, and just sat in the front row with their arms folded and stared at me.
Awesome. That's great.
But there's a line in the show when they think that Buffalo Bill's show is dying, and Pawnee Bill's show is doing well, which it isn't, and they don't know that. And Sitting Bull gets the idea, Pawnee Bill bad but rich. Buffalo Bill, good but poor. Put together, make good and rich. You know, one night I just turned around and I said, Buffalo Bill, good but poor. Pawnee bitch. And there was just dead silence in the theater. I mean, no reaction from anybody on stage or in the audience. And I looked at Buffalo Bill and I went, oop, that's not right. I try again. And that got the laugh. And yeah. At that point, Tim was at the window like. So I'm the only person that ever got away with saying bitch on the middle of that stage.
Tim is the producer, ladies and gentlemen.
And for those of you, because we're not, sadly it's not visual, but the stuck to glass look was, was inspired. That's great.
That is funny. I like that. That's right up there with the one wife taking pictures of...
Yes.
Getting laid by the other.
Allison, what do you got?
I have two quick ones. One is before I got on stage. When I was a teenager, I was an intern at a theater in Atlantic City. And I wasn't on stage. I was working backstage. And the stage manager called a meeting and said, I need all of you here tomorrow at 7 a.m. to strike. And I said, raise my hand. I said, excuse me. I'm not getting paid. I'm not carrying a sign for you all to make more money. Because I thought they meant picketing.
Oh, God.
They said, no. No, darling. It's called you're going to take the stage apart. Right.
Okay.
But I was doing a production of She Loves Me, and I was playing Alona Ritter. And it was in the middle of the song Alona that Kadai sings. And we do this lovely number where we held on to a piece of garland. And this garland... He would drag me across the stage, and at one point, he was dragging me, and it broke, and I went flying and landed on my tuchus, and I sat there and thought, you're going to have to come get me, because I am not moving. And it was when I discovered the power of comedic timing, I must say. So those are my two embarrassing moments.
Well, Paul, I know you've had a few.
Unfortunately, it was Beverly Garland that they were pulling, which was...
Yeah. Oh, her. Poor Beverly.
No, you know, more often than not, my experiences, especially when I was doing the one-man show for as long as I did, it was more the audience's problem than mine. Because, you know, you do the show so much. I did a show for 9 years. I did 1,600 performances of it. And
it straight up with a twist.
It got to the point that I was so comfortable with it that I wasn't even reliant on the script so much. So it was very playful and very easygoing and very little stress. If something went wrong or something went south, it was just more playful. So, but then you got those people in the audience, bachelorette parties and things like that.
Yeah.
And that was... But yours is still my favorite, though, Michael. Yours is, well, that was your audition story, but...
you're right.
Losing your pants was
losing
one.
My pants. Well, losing them, they weren't even on.
They weren't even on.
Yeah, this is what happened. This is what happened. I'm going to tell this, I've told it a couple times in the past couple of years on this show, but in the days of Theater in the Round, Santa Monica Civic Auditorium out here, which is a 3,000-seat auditorium, was popularizing itself, and they converted into the Round into that building. And the first musical that I had ever done professionally was Bye Bye Birdie, and I did it for years and ultimately ended up at that theater doing a run of it with Dick Van Dyke and Jerry Van Dyke. Went into it after Dick, and we did this show, and it's a lovely show, fun show, and I knew it backwards and forward. I played all the roles at one point in time of the kids, and there's that fast transition from New York City to Sweet Apple, Ohio, at the, mm-hmm. at the beginning of the show, where the you know everyone's in their kind of dark grays and suits and whatnot in New York, and then the strobe light and the transition into your Sweet Apple clothes, and people are coming up on stage, dressers, and they're taking things off of you, and you know, in mass, there's the stage is flooded with people, and it's all done in about 45 seconds. And when the lights come up, you're in Sweet Apple, Ohio. You're the same kid, but you've got something else on. I had this bright red sweater, so definitely noticeable, and a little white collar. And I looked down, and I was standing there in a dance belt. Yeah.
Yeah.
My pants never made it on.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it because somebody else was actually doing all of it. Yeah. You know, so.
And the only reason he knew that that happened was because someone in the audience said, Sweet Apple!
They got their money's worth over there on that side of the theater. Yeah, yeah. But I was mortified.
Mortified.
Oh, yeah. Of course, of course.
To say the least.
Thank you both for joining us today.
Absolutely.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
As a quick reminder before we sign off, it is for tickets for Beau Jest, GlendaleCenterTheatre.com.
Yes.
GlendaleCenterRE.com. And, of course, the number for the box office, 818-244-8481.
That would be it. Thank you, Paul.
It was fun.
Thank you, Mario. Thank
My
you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So Allison. Much, Allison.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you both, and we will see you all on the radio.
Yes, indeed.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.